Hello, friends and family. Yeah, we've been journeying together on this road to discover God as our perfect Father, to know the love of the Father. And so I want to encourage you, go back to some of these sessions. Remember, we are work in progress. We're not perfect. There's a lot of grace, and as we walk through these things, sometimes God is going to highlight certain things to you, sometimes in conversations. I really want to encourage us to talk to other people about what you are experiencing and what you're going through. Don't just do this course on your own, because as you talk to other people and they share their experiences, you're also going to learn, be challenged. And then just one other thing, I don't like doing stuff like this, but I wrote a book called Our Father. It's sort of a workbook where you can work through a lot of these principles that I've been sharing. So, hey, if you don't have money, just send us the details and we'll send you the book. So it's not about the money, it's not prosperity or anything like that, but it's really to get into the Word, because as we quote these scriptures, as we learn these scriptures, as we teach these scriptures and we make it part of our lives, we can live it. Because remember, you have the opportunity to establish a new generation. And so this is the last formal session. There's a couple of sessions we're still going to add as the weeks and months go by, but those will be all add-ons, because there's a lot of stuff we have not spoken about. And today we're going to just quickly look at some of them. But the idea with this last session, and as we just quickly just first recap what have we been doing so far, the first thing is, how big is our God? Remember, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's His love. God's motivation is love. It's not wrath. It's not judgment. Then God's heart revealed through Jesus, God's heart for you and me, what every child needs from dad. We saw that in the fourth session. Then we started to deal with the Father wound. And then letting go of our past, knowing our true identity, elements of sonship. What does it mean to have a spiritual inheritance? What does it mean to walk with God? And now we're busy, as we last session just broke the curse and established a new blessing and learned how to release the blessing of God over our lives. We're going to look at just quickly, and there's a lot of information on these slides. I'm not going to cover all of them, but on the roles of the different people in your life, for the father, the mother, the children, and we're also going to refer quickly to the mother's wound as well. So we saw in the last session the role of parents. You know, dad brings the strength, mom brings the beauty, reflects that. Both of them in a healthy marriage reflects the image of God to their children. Men focus on character, the identity, the performance, women on intimacy, and both of them together protect the glory and the legacy of God in family. So if you have a secure family and you've grown up in a healthy family, you will also have healthy boundaries. If there's been a lack of one of these two, or absence or abuse on the one side, or tyranny or passivity, different aspects of people in your life, it will sort of create broken down walls. And remember what Nehemiah, he had to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, because in the walls of a city, there's safety, there's protection, there's life, you know. And so we need to trust God through a process, and sometimes it's going to take months, sometimes it may take years in your life to rebuild the walls around your life. Healthy boundaries, physically, emotionally and spiritually, is so important. You know, in Proverbs it said that, you know, if a man does not know how to rule his own spirit, it's like a city whose walls are broken down. But there's beautiful pictures of these cities of refuge that God created in the Old Testament. He said, hey, your walls and your gates will be salvation and praise. So there's so many promises of restoration in our lives. And so the role of the parents, dad strength, mom beauty. Genesis 1:27 said it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There's a lot of challenges on gender identity. There's a lot of challenges. This whole identity issue is huge in our society today. And that's why the devil wants to break down the role of the father and the mother, because in that way, he can harm the image of God and the way God has created us. So let's firstly look at the role of the father. You know, the father takes the responsibility, but remember, it's just a function. The Bible says clearly that Everyone is equal in Christ. It's not that the one is better than the other, or hey, wife submit, or you know. It's mutual submission. It's a place we grow in. And if you're single and you want to get married, it's important that you learn the roles, because if you're trying to function in a different role, there's gonna be so much striving. You know, we see it a lot. Sometimes if there's been a passive father in the house, then the mother takes the leadership. And it's just not healthy. Yeah. It's beautiful when the two work together in their function to fulfill that image to God. So the role of the father is to turn his heart to his children, to mentor his children, to be a protector, a priest, a prophet, a king, and a judge. So we're going to quickly look at these different aspects. The first one is to turn his heart to the children. The father must pursue the heart of the children. Isn't that beautiful about the gospel, that God came to search for us? You know, when people say, I found Jesus, I just laugh. I say, no, Jesus found you. God came to search for you. You know, don't say, I find Jesus, you know. God is too big in any case that we can just find him. He came to look for us when we were not looking for him, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us, you know. So the father must be emotionally committed and involved. He must love, show concern, kindness, gentleness, bring affirmation by showing affection, attention, approval. And if there's neglect in these areas, and if there's not been an emotional connection between father and children, what begins to happen is there's insecurity. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the identity and the destiny of the children. And so the father then secondly needs to mentor his children, bring instruction, direct them, influence their mind and their heart, you know, especially the first part of your life. That's when the identity of the child is primarily, from especially age of around about 3 till 12, that's when the father brings down the image and the identity of the child. Comes from the father. After 12, it shifts to peer pressure. And so that's maybe one area we really didn't speak into, is a lot of rejection and shame and all this stuff can come through wrong peer pressures, you know, bullying at school, because in that second phase of your life, it is so important that you get the right friendships going, you know, because a lot of issues flows from that. If you've been hurt or abused, especially at school when you're a teenager. And so teenagers are difficult, but hallelujah, the Lord bless you and keep you. So the father must be an example. There's sometimes a lot of discouragement when a father says something, but he's a hypocrite, you know, and especially with young people today, they want to know the real thing. They want to be authentic. You know, I'm a father. My oldest is out of school already. And sometimes it's a big challenge. Sometimes you feel like, I failed my children. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. And that's where there's grace. And have grace with your parents, children. But the father directs them. The father influences them and demonstrates belief in their children. I think a lot of people, especially in the South African context, sometimes, you know, the father is not a spiritual leader. But listen to this in Psalm 127 verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Yeah, it's like, hey, it's arrows. If you're a father, your children are an arrow. It's your blessing. It's a gift to God. The third thing that the father does is he's a protector. He must guard, he must cover. And Luke 11 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. So fathers must protect. And that protection creates a security, creates an environment where there's healthy boundaries. And even with conflict, you know, I grew up in a home where there were very abusive verbal conflict. And that's why I struggled later in my life to actually handle conflict properly. I would just run a mile, you know. I'm, in any case, a more encourager or motivator. So I want people to be happy and feel good, you know. So I don't like confrontation. I don't like conflict. Because conflict normally in our homes and in my home would produce, you know, people bad-mouthing each other and climbing into each other characters. It wasn't about the conflict or the, you know, resolving the conflict. It was just about who was right and wrong. And that caused a lot of pain in my life. And so conflict isn't negative. It isn't bad when you grow together in relationship, because it's not about winning the argument. It's about winning the heart. And that's why it's so important that we learn to grow through these seasons in our lives. The fourth thing a father does is he's a priest. In Proverbs 3 verse 1 to 2, you can read that. But a priest represents his family to God. He's a lawgiver. He invokes spiritual blessing. He imparts life. He affirms, commends, encourages. And he takes charge over holy things. The father should be the spiritual leader in the home. And sometimes as fathers, we neglect that. Because, hey, ladies are very in touch with the Holy Spirit and with their priestly service and praying. But the father should pray. The father should lead his family and intercede for them. Listen to this in Proverbs 3 verse 1 to 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's the role of the father. The fifth thing a father does is a prophet. He represents God to his family. He brings the word. He brings direction, leadership from God's instructions, bold, proactive leadership, warns against pending danger, models the fear of God. You know, the fear of God needs to be in our lives. Proverbs 19 verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has its rest satisfied, he will not be visited by harm. Yeah, a priest, a prophet, and then number six, a king governs his family on behalf of God. Because remember, the father will be responsible firstly and foremostly to God. So it's not a role of dictatorship or authoritarian leadership or everyone else must submit. You know, kids must be seen but not heard, you know. It's not about control. It's not about manipulation. It's about serving. But in that place, there's a spiritual and emotional needs. And so the father is going to take the biggest judgment in the home. Responsibility starts and stops with the father. So there comes a great responsibility and also consequences to those who disobey God. So let's take that role. And remember, there's grace. If you want to be a father, there's grace for you. There's grace because God has set out functions in the church, in family, at workplace, and it's not about the one being better than the other. Holds the family together. So the last one, or just read first Proverbs 22 verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. The fathers set the boundaries. And so the picture, you know, in the Old Testament is where the elders would sit at the gate. And there all the decisions, the economy, lots of decisions were made at the gate. That's where the group met together in community. You know, governing authority is with the men. Not with the ladies. Does that mean that ladies can't minister? No, ladies should minister. Prophets, ladies should minister in the church. They should preach and teach. I believe that with all of my heart. I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says, if you're going to drown and somebody comes on the boat and wants to throw a life buoy and you're busy drowning, you know, you're not going to say, oh, sorry, don't throw it to me because you're a lady. No, no, you're going to be rescued by the gospel. Not by the person that's bringing the message. Some of the most powerful ministers in the kingdom today in the Middle East and the East are ladies. Some of the greatest missionaries, most missionaries are ladies in the world today. And so it doesn't mean that ladies should not minister and be quiet, you know. And I'm not going to go into all the ministry of women. But obviously governmental authority stays with the guys. That's the scriptural role. And there's a safe space for that. But there's also responsibility and, sure, big judgment on its way. So Proverbs 22 says that. Then the last one is fathers must also be the judge. Make judgment calls. Watches over the cause of the vulnerable. Brings justice into the family. You know, brings discipline. Listen to this in Proverbs 23 verse 13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You know, contrary to anything that people say today, discipline is needed. You know, and Proverbs 23 talks about that. Hebrews 12 also talks about discipline, the fact that God will discipline us. And a lot of people don't like this part of God, you know. But why? There's a difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is you bad. I just want to get to you. Discipline is always unto restoration. It's beautiful because it brings you. Discipline is there for you. and me, it's not because God is such a wrathful God. It just means simply, I want you to grow to the place where you can be mature. And that's why God will also test us. That's why God will put challenges in front of us so that we can grow up. So why? Because he wants you to walk in your destiny, in your calling. And that's why he will also discipline us. And Hebrews says it, you can read that scripture, that God will chasten us and he wants us to be partakers, because he doesn't really love us if there's not discipline. I've seen that with young people sometimes, that has never been disciplined. There's just so much entitlement in their lives. They have no boundaries in their lives. They just like flaky people all over the place, because there's just been no fences around their lives. There's been no protection. There's been no security, because discipline creates security. Creates like, hey, I really love you, and you need to learn that there are also consequences to your actions. God forgives immediately, but he says, hey, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from those things. So there's a cleansing process. Why? Because you need to learn that if you are disobedient, your actions will determine a consequence. And so we need to take responsibility for the consequences. So yes, if you are going to sleep with your girlfriend outside of marriage and going to make her pregnant, God is going to forgive immediately, but there's consequences to those actions. There's consequences if you are trapped in pornography and masturbation, and you're just keeping in certain cycles of your life. Because what happens with continued sin in our lives is our hearts begin to grow hardened towards God and towards other people. And now you want a healthy marriage, but you're still trapped in that sin. That's why you need to repent of those things. And you need to say, hey, I need to stop it. I can't just go on with these things, because hey, there's going to be consequences in my heart, especially if my heart grows hardened to people around me or to God's life. Listen to this in Galatians 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So, hey, there's the law of sowing and reaping. So now it's time for you to sow into your life, into the future generations. Sow blessing, sow life, sow the fullness of God. So that's the role of the father. Then we look at the role of the mother. The mother is the helpmeet of the husband. She's the one that creates this intimacy that connects people in relationship. And it's complementary to all the roles of the father. Not just the five, but all those that we've mentioned. And she models honor to the husband. She respects. She builds up. The husband loves. That's what Ephesians says. Husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Whoa, that's unconditionally. So in that context, it's beautiful to see submission, because A, we don't force the lady into submission. We love her into submission. If there's abuse, submission is going to be very difficult. And so in these two, as the one honors the other one, this one loves the other one, there's this beautiful harmony of representing the image of God to the children. And so loving care, the nurture of the children. Do you know God has got a nurturing side? And it's amazing to see. He says, I will nurture you. I will love you, and the parents nurture the identity and destiny of the children. So the mother, they help meet to the husband, but doesn't mean it's inferior. I'm going to say that 20 times. It's beautiful when there's that security in that place. Listen to the Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. So in that role, with the helpmeet and the fact that they, that the one is not better than the other one, but they together, the one can't be with the other one. Listen to this in Genesis 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him, equal to him. It's not like the one is less than the other one. It's just like, the man can't make it on his own. I can't do it. I just can't do it without a wife. And my wife is much different than I am. I'm a motivator, encourager, going out there, and she's a much more merciful, serving type of person, not a public image type of person at all, a public speaker or anything, In the beginning, I struggled a little bit with that, because I thought like, oh, you must be this powerful preacher, because I wanted to make her, Louise, my wife, just as I am. But hey, it's actually the opposite people that actually you know, because they have got strengths, they like actually build together and they become a winning team. Because hey, I'm listening to my wife. When she says something, I realize like, oh, you know, she picked up stuff that I can never pick up because she's much more relationally inclined than I am, much more merciful and serving orientated, you know? And so I need to learn that she shouldn't be like me, but we complement each other and we build on. And there's been a lot of conflict in marriages many times because people just don't understand the other person. So learn to grow. Learn to realize like we're not competing with each other. When there's unity, when there's agreement, and that's the most powerful thing God has given the human race, is the power of agreement. That word is actually synergeo, symphoneo, is to create synergy. You know, when we come together to agree on the things of God, but when there's disagreement, oh, it's divorce, division, negativity, destruction comes into the family through divorce, because the children will suffer immensely when there's division. But when there's agreement, when there's unity, wow, it's beautiful. And there's so much strength. So go and read Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 30. It's beautiful about this woman. It starts there. It says, "For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." And then he describes a Proverbs 31 lady. And just talks about all that stuff, you know, how she had, you know, just coming together to build up and to establish. So woman, you are appreciated. You are valued. You're not a lesser being, you know. And just on behalf of men in society, we just want to say sorry for abuse and for hurting you so many times. Because women need to be protected, and husbands should be soft in the heart to serve ladies and love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So I just wanna say for all the ladies listening that sure, you know, God really loves you and he wants to nurture you and he wants to protect you and he wants to show you a true godly, his tender heartedness. He's not an angry God up there with you as a lady, and you are beautiful to God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. God made no mistake, you know, and it's not like lesser to be a lady. It's beautiful, and there's a fragrance of Christ that ladies bring to the church and to the community. Ladies are just amazing. And so, and she is then also helped me to, like I said, to her husband, king, priest, and prophet. Then it means she's the queen, the priestess, and the prophetess. You know, it says that we are a kingdom of priests. And so remember, a priest would build a bridge between man and God, and the lady builds that bridge between her children and God, and between her children and her husband. And so you represent the children to God, and you represent God to the children. A beautiful bridge builder. That's what a priest means, you know. And so Revelation also says it, and 5 verse 10, it says, "And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." 1 Peter 2 verse 9 also says the same. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So the beautiful pictures of the father, the mother, man, male and female coming together to represent God to the children. And so now we just quickly digressing a little bit, because when we talk about the mother and the image of the mother, it's something we have not touched on in this series. But there are a couple of slides, and I want you to go and read through it and pray through it. We'll also, there's some video material extra available on it. But there's also the mother wound. And so we got this from Focus on the Family, but the mother can be separated from the child through illness of the mother's death, divorce. You know, the child is separated from the mother through the different stuff in hospitalization or in adoption. And then through neglect, abuse, mother's mental and emotional distress, attempted abortion. There's a lot of things that can create a mother wound as well. Just as we have a father's wound, we can have and create a mother's wound. And so it is important that we realize that the effect of that wounding in our lives can cause feelings of abandonment and dread of aloneness. And I want to encourage you to go and read through this on your own, pray through it. Loss of self and sense of being alone. A powerful hunger for feminine touch that can be eroticized. Emotional dependencies, possible gender confusion, fear, and insecurity. So if there's been a lack of connecting with a mother from a boy or a girl's side, these wounds can create like an over-sexuality or emotional dependency on women, or lots of identity insecurities. And you can go and read through that list, because there's some implications for women and some implications for men. Is when we internalize a low view of women, we become addictive, you know, there's sexual confusion related to touch and women. And for men, it's like ambivalence towards women, fixation on feminine objects, detachment, sexual confusion, and identity. There's a lot of scars that can come in. And they actually, the scientists said it's so amazing that, you know, that first couple of months where child just face time with mom is so important, you know. And our society actually just takes these children away and say, hey, just give it to a caregiver. But a caregiver cannot give that child what a father and mother must give them, you know. So you can read through those lists and look at other implications, you know, separation anxiety, fantasy bonding, attachment to self fantasy, emotional stuff. There's a lot of incest, a lot of stuff that begins to happen, incest, you know, a lot of stuff that begins to happen when we have a disconnect with mother. And that's why we must invite Jesus into that pain, into those wounds, forgive our mother, and that will strengthen our sense of identity. So the last part is where we look at the roles of the children. The Bible says obey, submit, and honor our parents. You know, look out for each other. Also, you know, with sibling rivalry, sometimes we get very hurt. You know, the middle child or the third child, there's a lot of stuff. You know, the first child is always like, ah, well, the standard is so high. Middle child feels like, sure, I've been neglected. The third child, you know, gets spoiled many times. That's what they say. But it's so important where also you find your role as the children in what, you know, where in the category you find yourself, that you don't curse your parents, but, you know, that you actually live to obey and submit. You know, because obedience is learnt. The Bible says Jesus learnt obedience through the things that he suffered. So we need to teach our children obedience. It's not going to come natural. You know, I remember one of my children, I was, you know, coming at a stage, and then the child would always roll down the toilet paper, you know, the roll that was in the wall, roll it down. And then we would address the issue. And then one day we were standing there again, and the child was probably like a year and a half and looking, and I said, no, you're not going to roll down this roll again, you know. And then the child looked at me, looked at the toilet paper, looked at me again, and then just like rolled down. And I thought, like, where did you get this? You know, I didn't teach you this. It's called the sinful nature, you know. And that's why we as children, we must teach our children, or as fathers and mothers, we must teach our children implicit obedience. Because what if God is going to one day say to you, hey, do this? And then you say, like, no. Maybe it's a, you know, it's a suggestion. But God didn't give us the 10 suggestions. He gave us the 10 commandments. He says, if you love me, you must be obedient. God's love language to us is love and acceptance and affirmations. Our love language to God is obedience. I'm going to say that again. Our love language to God is obedience. While his love language to us is different. So, children, learn to honor. Don't dishonor your parents. That's what Scripture says, Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So learn to honor. Doesn't mean that all their actions are right. You know, especially if it's unbiblical. We're not going to say, oh, yeah, you've divorced. So that's just like, I need to honor you with all the... Because we first always honor God. You know, if the Bible says, get baptized, and our parents says, no, don't get baptized, we're going to honor God first. Because his word says, be obedient to my word. You know, so we honor God first and then all the functional authorities in our lives. If government says, hey, don't preach the word, then we're going to say, no, sorry, we have to honor God first. So honor always first goes to God. But then there's functional authority in your life. Church leaders, there's parents, there's government, you know, stop at the stop street. Do what is right, you know. Because, hey, we also need to be good citizens. But honor we need to bring, because when we start to honor and we start to live in that space, it is beautiful. God honors us as the children of God, and we live in a free world where we are free because of the laws of Christ. And so you can take your time and go and read through all of this. It's a lot of information, but maybe we can end off by saying, go, if there's been a distortion in these rules, go and pray, go and study, go and there's lots of beautiful books that you can read about the different roles of the father, the mother, the children, and go and say, Lord, I realize that I've been hurt, I've been wounded in these areas, so come and heal me, come and set me free, because I've got a, you know, I've got maybe a strong will, and I'm a lady, but shoo, I realize I just want to take control. I just want to be in charge, because I never had a role model of a mom that, you know, didn't wear the pants in the house. She was controlling, manipulative, or whatever. But I need to break that cycle over my life. And that's not dishonoring. That's just being real about where you've grown up, what the situation was. Because I don't know what you have been experiencing in your life. But you remember, you're establishing a new generation. You're saying, Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live in a different way. And we're going to follow you in a different way. So that's my blessing that I want to speak out to you. And I want to say, hey, continue, keep on watching these videos. If you need to go back to some of them, we are going to add some extra videos from other people as well that will help you just to discover God as our perfect, loving Father, and to live in a space where we are healed, where we have the peace of God, we are whole in Christ. Not perfect, but wholeness. Remember, that's what we pursue. If you're embarking on a relationship, you want to get married, first become whole. Otherwise, you're going to become so needy in that relationship that you're going to have an expectation that this other person is going to need those, meet those needs, and that other person can't, because we're only dependent on God. We're interdependent with other people, and we should not be independent ourselves, but only dependent on God. So I'm gonna pray for a restoration over you, over your family, over your future. And maybe just as a homework, go and write down these roles. Go and look at how it worked in your family, maybe through generations. And you say, sure, I realized my father didn't fulfill these roles. And my mother didn't fulfill these roles. And I became disobedient. I became rebellious. I got angry. I got hurt. And then trust God for restoration. Because God is restoring. And he's going to bring you back to a better place than what even originally what's gone wrong in your family line. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you for what your word is so true and so clear in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for that you'll establish the ancient paths. Lord, the ruins that have been broken down, like Isaiah said, Lord, you have given us, Lord, a place, Father, where there's peace and wholeness. And over our family, Father, and over our future generations, I pray a blessing over everyone that's listening in, that's watching at this stage. Father, even when we feel a bit hopeless, we feel like, sure, there's so much to fix. Lord, you are the master physician. And we pray that you will finish the work that you have started. Thank you that you are faithful even when we are unfaithful. Thank you for complete restoration. Complete restoration. Father, we repent of any habitual sins, cycles in our lives, Lord, that we grab onto. Lord, we take responsibility for the consequences of these things in our lives. Lord, teach us. Lord, also what it means that you discipline us sometimes. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you that it's because you love us and you want us to be restored, that you also do these things and show us your love and your heart. Father, I pray for soft hearts in this time. I pray for hearts that will be hungry and thirsty for you. Lord, and as we turn back to you, as not just individuals, but as generations, raise up a new generation, Lord. Raise up a new standard of your life and your blessing over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. We love you. I love you. And I trust this journey has been doing things in your life, even when it felt a bit sometimes like an operation. But go and speak life. Go and walk in that fullness. Jesus is that life, and he gives us life in abundance. Amen.